Welcome to my podcast, Today's Dream, Tomorrow's Reality. My name is Vicki Poole. I'm a master transformational coach and hypnotist specializing in habit change. This podcast is sponsored by the Enlightened Peach, and it's all about embracing our mosaic life. And some of you may ask, what is a mosaic life anyway? Well, it is recognizing that all the pieces of our life, the good, the bad, the indifferent, have all come together to make us who we are. Change any one thing and we are different. With that in mind, I invite you to embrace your perceived imperfections and celebrate who you are. This podcast is unedited and raw, just like life. And I am your host, and I have a special guest that I'm going to introduce in just a moment. But before then, I would love to ask you to do me a solid. And that means leave a comment on this episode. And remember to like, subscribe, and share, because I have amazing guests with amazing stories, and I really want to help them get their stories out even further. And the only way that happens is with your help. So go ahead, leave a comment, and remember to like, subscribe, and share. So now let's get started. Now, before I bring this lovely lady out, I will tell you that I met her because I had joined a group. I had a coach, and it was a group program for business, and it was amazing. And Riordan was actually one of the other group members that were studying under James's tutelage. And so we have connected and stayed connected, and it's just a beautiful thing. She's got such a wonderful spirit, and I can't wait to dig into some of the things. I know some things about her from being in the group with her, but there's so much more to explore, so I can't wait to do that. So I'm going to bring her out. Oh, where's she at? There. Yay! Riordan, there Hello. You are. It's so great to have you here. I'm excited to share your story and a little bit about you. If you don't mind, you could go ahead and tell our watchers, our listeners, just a touch about you, and then we'll dive into some conversation about it.
Okay. Well, I go by Riordan, Lady of Love and Light. I'm also known in some circles as White Owl Woman, and my birth name is Roberta Lowry. And I've been, gosh, a healer ever since I can remember. At this point in my life, I do shamanic, holistic health and wellness practicing, you know, practicing that as a practitioner. And that includes Reiki, it includes NLP, cranial sacral, and transformational coaching. And I do personal readings for people, but I've kind of taken an integration of everything, all the tools that I've learned over the years of me beginning with my career in physical therapy. And in my education for that, I took mental health and behavioral sciences, you know, in psychology and sociology and philosophy and things of that nature. And so then once I began to practice in the field of physical therapy, which I did for 26 years, I'm no longer practicing physical therapy. I'm retired because I had an accident. As the universe would have it, it was time for me to try a different approach and, you know, no longer focus on the physical, mental approaches.
So can I ask, what was the accident?
Yes, I was, I was a traveler at that point. So I was packing up my van, and I had my arms full of things to put in my van. And I stepped off the curb and down I went. And unfortunately for me, I had everything in my hands and my arms.
So you couldn't brace yourself.
Yeah. And so I ended up on already degenerative joints in my knees. I ended up hitting on my knees going, oh my God. And I bounced over to the right side and I injured my shoulder, my neck, my back, and my hip. All, you know, basically my whole left side, as well as traumatized and ended up overstraining, stretching every ligament every tendon and every muscle in my knees.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so that took me out of a very thriving career, you know, 26 years of that. But during the time of my career and putting my hands on people, doing physical rehabilitation with them, and you know, knowing the body's physiology, I began to sense energy in the body, and my hands would automatically go to wherever I needed to go to work on people. And I just had that sixth sense and that feeling, and people would start giving me feedback. What are you doing? Did you start the ultrasound? I thought we were going to do the massage first or this first. And it's like, no, I haven't, you know, so they were feeling the energy. And sometimes they would describe it as a buzzing, a tingling, or just intense heat. And as I began to work with people with my hands, because I really loved manual therapy as well, mm-hmm. but my whole career, it's I've had a very interesting, diverse background, but I learned that I could manipulate the energy and draw it out.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, so I just trusted my instincts and I would do that and my patients would get better. And
so when you say you were pulling the energy out, so there's an energy that's to the injury.
Right.
Okay.
And so I could sense that and I would just start pulling the energy out of them. And I didn't really have any idea what I was doing. I was just going on my instincts. And then in 94, I was working at a place and they laid me off. Well, that's not, physical therapy is very high demand, but I was working in a behavioral and mental health facility for adolescents at that time in the role of providing physical therapy for them. And it devastated me. And a friend of mine said, well, you know, hey, I'm going up to Arkansas and why don't you come along with me? And I was like, well, I can't. She goes, what do you have to do? You just got laid off. I was like, oh yeah. I mean, I was total shocked. So I ended up going up there with her and found my Reiki master, who I didn't even know what Reiki was, but I began to talk with this gentleman and he was like telling me, he goes, well, I'm getting ready to do this weekend as a class with a few women. And if you would like, I would love to have you, you know, initiate you into the Reiki and practicing. So I was like, wow. And from what he had described, it was kind of right what I was doing. But what I didn't realize at the time is that before Reiki, I was channeling all my energy into people, my life force, my chi. And Reiki opens you up to channel from the divine. And so becoming, and not using your own life force, it just, you channel the divine energy through you. And so I began to do that. But I was always interested in reflexology and the needling that they do and all kinds of alternatives. So I've always sought out.
Acupuncture, you mean?
Yes, acupuncture.
Okay.
And even in physical therapy, we use pressure points to relieve. So I knew all about that and I knew the principles, but I really began to seek out that. And then I would run across people and we would have conversations and I was like, wow, that's so, you know, I just allowed my other interests to guide me. And I did that throughout my whole career. And one of the things that as I was practicing in this mental health and behavioral place for adolescents is that I ran across my very first mentor, aside from my Reiki master. And she was a psychologist who was specialized in past life regression and hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And she was a very pioneer in her field. And so I was really lucky I had gone to her because I started having some issues about having some panic attacks. I couldn't get out of my car whenever there were particularly men around, a couple of them, or if they were staring at me or looking at me, and I would begin. And so I wasn't sure what was up with this, you know, and I went to her and discovered some deep issues that I had pushed way down. And I had as if I didn't know my own story, you know, I just forgot about it. But so in that process, you know, of working with her and her knowing that I worked with kids, and we began to talk, and she said, you know what, I want to teach you. So she taught me. And, you know, but it was in that moment. And at that point, I really, we had just began to uncover a little bit of what had been going on with me. And so, you know, I just continued on my journey. I did some healing with her, but I continued, and I didn't really, there comes a point sometimes when we're not ready to face issues. And so that I came up against that wall, and I was like, well, I'm going to let this go for now. And she goes, that's fine. But if you ever, you know, and so I did, I just, you know, went on with my life and, you know, kind of continued in the field of physical therapy. I was doing traveling work, and I, at the top of my career, boom, I went down, you know. But before that had happened, probably in 2000 and 2001, that was 9/11, right? During that time, I had been, things that you don't want to deal with, the universe is going to make you deal with it at some point. And everything that I had pushed down was like a little Dutch boy with the wall, you know, the story about the Dutch boy, and you're putting your finger on this crack and that crack, and it gets bigger until the dam breaks. Well, that's what happened to me. My dam broke. And it turns out, and I don't mind talking and sharing this, but I had been sexually assaulted and abducted, and I escaped from that person. And in doing so,
how old were you? Do you know?
Back then, I was 27.
When you were abducted or when you were removed?
Yeah.
When you were abducted?
No, when I was abducted. Okay. And so that, and then I was 41 when it came, like, boom, you know? And I just was like in shock and falling apart. And it was like my world began to quake, you know, like a volcano erupting. And then after everything started,
what was the, I know you did that work and then you walked away from it for a while. What was the trigger that kind of brought it all into the open?
So a friend of mine, a male friend, and I had been working closely. I went over to visit him one night, and we crossed the line of friendship. And he, you know, in the middle and doing that, you know, he was holding me, and I started having a panic attack. I couldn't breathe. And I was like, you know, and I was like, okay. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm okay. What's going on? Just take deep breaths. And I started taking deep breaths. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm settling down and I'm feeling okay. And, you know, it was a sexual encounter with him. You know, and a little later on in the night, when, which was more him holding me and holding me close and pulling me close to him, I went into more panic attacks where I couldn't breathe. And I, at one point, I started having flashbacks of this gentleman that was holding me captive, and I couldn't escape him, and he was holding me in an embrace. And I escaped him by knowing, you know, when the body is fully at rest and knowing not, and waiting him out until, but every time I would move, he would pull me back closer, you know? And so that, in a loving manner, you know, years later, with someone who it should have been a nice, you know, sweet encounter, became very revelating to me, you know, where it just sent me into like flashbacks, and I had no idea what was going on because I didn't remember it. You know, that's how powerful our mind and our subconscious mind is to protect us, because I now realize that I didn't react the way I thought I would have, you know, at the time, if that ever happened to me. No, I went into survival mode, and something else behind me, you know, picked up and just saw me through it, you know?
Right. And you know, that's one of the things that when people start judging someone for the way they act in a big circumstance, I always think, oh, baby, you don't know what they're going through right now. And maybe that is the only thing that gets them through, you know?
Yeah.
So I think people are so quick to judge someone that has been in something like that.
And they are. And part of me, my not wanting to be judged, I never reported it. I got away. And it's just like you see in the movies where you can barely get, you know, your key in your car door to escape, and, you know, hoping and praying that this man doesn't catch me between me getting out from under his grip, getting my stuff together, getting some kind of clothing on to where I could walk out the door and get in my car and leave, you know, and, you know, that whole thing. And then just being in shock and just going horrified and not knowing what to do.
So was this someone you knew?
And you know, those are things too. I judge myself as like, I never should have gone with this man, but at that point in time, you know, I, my intuition said no. And I had been in a bar, you know, a friend of mine was a bartender, and she said, hey, this guy wants to buy you a drink. And I was like, no, I don't want, you know, no, thank you. And, you know, and she, and because I had been separated from my, you know, now ex-husband, but then I was just separated from him. And I was just like, no, I, you know, I really am, I'm good. And she's like, well, I watch you all the time bounce men off you. They approach you and you just got this wall up and you need to start letting that down because it's been almost, you know, a year and a half now and da 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 da. And so the second time I was like, no, I don't. And then the third time I was like, and then I saw my ex-husband in the bar and I was like, well, maybe I will.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so against my better judgment, I did. You know, one of my big takeaways is from that always is trust your intuition, period.
Yeah, and, you know, I have been with, I've had times in my life where I was, would go with a bunch of friends to the bar and stuff like that. And I don't know how many times I would be there with another girl and she'd end up meeting some guy and she'd say, you can take my car. I'm going to go with him. And then I would be in a panic all night long
until
she showed up, you know, because all I could think was all these horrible things that might happen. And they always showed up. And it was like, okay.
Thank goodness.
I know. But for me, for some reason, that was a really a horror thing that would just grip me really tight when they would do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting how quickly we can fall prey to that stuff, right?
It
can happen anywhere. And so if anybody's watching or listening, let this be something to be aware of because, you know, especially when we're in our 20s and everything.
Exactly.
We are just invincible and
we
don't really grasp the magnitude of what can happen sometimes.
And we don't think that it could happen to us. It happens to other people, you know, and, you know, and I want to is like, you know, we're talking about judgment and like the Me Too movement, you know, it's like a lot, they get a lot of bad raps. Like, well, if it was true, why didn't they come forward? Well, I can tell you why, because number one, you didn't react the way you thought. You know, I thought I would have fought tooth and nail to the death. And that, you know, it didn't happen, you know, and I realized that in order to survive, some part of me realized that I just had to wait it out.
Submissive. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like I talk to people about assessing, you know, looking for the opportunity and knowing when to run, you know, that fight or flight. And my said, wait it out and just, you know, and I did that. But, you know, the other part of it was like, I lived in a small town at the time and everything goes into the papers. Well, there was no way I was going to have being violated put out to everybody to know. I mean, that's people cannot understand until you've been through it. That is one of the most horrible things that can happen to a man or a woman.
Right.
Or a child.
You know, I haven't had what you happen. What happened to you happen to me? I had an incident where there was someone that I knew that when I was only in the sixth grade, I think it was seventh grade, something like seventh grade. I mean, so how old does that make me? Hell, I don't even know. But anyway, they would expose themselves to me all the time. And there were adults all over the place, but he always was strategic in the way he did that so that I would see it, you know? Right. And so I didn't tell anybody for the longest time because I thought, I'm just a kid. They're not going to believe me. They'll believe him. And I think that happens a lot of times too. Women, especially, you know, younger women keep their mouth shut because who's going to believe me anyway?
Right. And, you know, and two, for me, in my case, I had predators know, okay, they know how to approach. They know who is vulnerable and they look for those vulnerabilities. And me being a therapist, he told me a sad story about his wife dying in his arms and blah, 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 blah. And it's getting crowded in here and smoky. Do you mind if we step outside? And I was like, sure. And he went as far as to give me his license and me show my friend. And she was like, oh yeah, okay. And I was like, so I'm, you know, I'm heading out with this person. And at that point, I was doing something illegal at that point in time, is like, he offered me some smoke pot. And at that point in time, that's how I dealt with my separation from my ex-husband, drinking and other, you know, it's like, and I was never that person, you know, up until a certain point when, you know, my ex-husband pulled the rug out from under me and my world crumbled at that point. You know, so it's like that judgy, and it's like, okay, nobody's going to believe it, number one, because I went with him willingly to this room, and I knew I was in trouble when he put the door, the chair under the door knob, you know, and wedged it in and locked it up, and some point of me, and then he turned to me, and there was nothing in his eyes. This was an evil, I mean, you know, people look in people's eyes. But even at the time I was, you know, in the bar and out, that person was different than the person that came out and did what they did to me. And so, you know, it's like that judging and judging myself and going, you know, I should have never, I did. And I was so ashamed, and the shame, and, you know, so I just, you know, when I did escape, I drove and I drove and I drove and I drove out into the middle of nowhere because I used to do home health. And so I screamed and I cried and I was so angry at God and my parents, you know, for not warning me about these kind of things, you know, and at my ex-husband and at myself and that, and my friend and, you know, and this person. And I just was like this wounded animal unleashing and screaming. So for me, by the time I let all that out, I went to my friend because I was staying with her because I lived about 343 miles away. I had moved. And so I was visiting her for that weekend. And I then I went to her house and I got in the shower and I just ran cold water over me, you know, for an hour or so. And, you know, and then I left and I left her a note saying, I decided to go back to San Antonio. I'll talk to you later, you know.
So you didn't tell her either?
No, I didn't tell anybody for years. I mean, years. And I know I had, at some point, I remember telling a friend of mine, but she had a similar story. But then after that, I don't remember, you know, it went back down, you know? And so when I was, you know, when all this started coming up and I just was like, I had no clue why I was crying all the time and so sad. And I called a friend of mine said, hey, you know, cause I had a roommate at that time. And so, you know, after this unraveling, you know, my earth, you know, when, you know, with a different situation years later. And so she was like, call the rape crisis hotline. I think they can help you. I think you know, you're experiencing something. And I said, I know I'm had enough pieces that I was raped, but I don't know. It doesn't belong. it didn't feel like it belonged to me still, mm-hmm. even telling mm-hmm. her, like, and even through all the therapy up until a certain point, it didn't feel like it was me. And I just couldn't imagine how am I, you know, how does this happen? But it's called disassociated, you know, yeah. and it's not the disassociation where you have all these personalities. No, I disassociated from my body. I was, you know, I pulled back. I never experienced the fear that I should have at that point. And so those were things that I had to deal with in, you know, when it finally did come up in order to, you know, get therapy. So I spent, you know, 4 years of my life in therapy, intense therapy. And I wasn't working until I could go back to work again. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, and so I did, I continued with my life, you know, and I did, and things too, I want to tell people, if you don't feel that you're being heard by your therapist, by all means, request another one, you know, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I had this one lady, she was burnt out. And I could tell because I worked in the mental health behavioral, you know, at some points. And she was like, why don't you just need to get over it now. And I was like, I'm in the midst of unraveling and I don't even know exactly. And you're telling me to get over with it. And, you know, so I went and I did, you know, I did change therapist. And then I ended up with an art therapist, which was very wonderful tool for me. And, but then she moved on. And so then I went to another person and then they moved on. And so finally I reached out to a place in Austin, Texas called Safe Place. And they took me on. They don't, you know, it's usually for battered women and children, but they took me on as a client to help me because nobody could understand, because not only had that occurred to me, I had been, before that incident, I had been raped by an acquaintance. And I didn't report that to anybody. So that had become like my pattern. Mm-hmm. And then that same person tried it again with me, you know, and then there was then after a couple of years after this, you know, and these are things I didn't put together, you know, but after the main incident, which I call the abduction, you know, because it was many hours and he was planning to take me away where nobody would ever see me again, ever. And he told me as much, you know, and threatened me with a hunting knife and pulled it out and said, what makes you think I'm not going to slit your throat from ear, you know, ear to ear and leave you to die when I'm finished with you? And my whole thing was just in survival and, you know, mode, and some other part of me kicked in and took over. But it's one of those things. And so I didn't realize that, like, I had a pattern to begin with of not telling, mm-hmm. and that it had happened to me before. And I kind of pushed it down out of my mind because I couldn't deal with it, because it was a friend of mine's brother, you know. And then I went on a date and he got drunk and I met him in my car and I drove, you know, I was being smart, but he got drunk. So I had to end up taking him home. And then once I got in, he forced himself on me. And so another time I just put it, you know, for me, I would go into sleep and hibernation and, you know, and not do anything and call in sick and then kind of come out of it and go back to work and resume my whole life working so hard, 14 hours a day, you know,
disassociate even more.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's, you know, and it's so important, you know, like you and I do this work that we do, which is, you know, coaching and hypnosis and going deep with the subconscious mind and unlocking, because that is what is in control, you know. And our conscious mind is just taking in all kinds of things and making up stories and putting boxes around it and really isn't like an avoidance, you know?
Right.
And so I really want to reach out to anybody who is in that place and really needs help. You know, I'm always available to talk, you know, and to guide, you know, and help. And if I can't help you, you know, I can refer you to who can, you know, because right. certainly there are times when you need a psychologist, you know, which I'm not qualified.
Right. And a lot of times psychologists will work in tandem with the hypnotist.
Exactly. You know,
exactly. So that they're getting that help over there. And then they're getting yeah. the actual movement from right. it. So that, because therapy like that by itself with a psychologist could take forever.
It does.
You tag it with a hypnotist who can kind of help speed that process mm-hmm. of change up, then I can actually change so much in a lot shorter right. period of time.
And definitely in a shorter period of time, because you know, and I've gone on to help other people, you know, and even in myself, you know, doing my own after the facts, you know, of really perfecting my skill and learning neurolinguistic programming in addition to coaching and, you know, hypnosis and, you know, combining it, is that like I said, your subconscious knows, your body knows what it's ready to deal with and what it's not. Mm-hmm. And when you start talking, you know, the language that we utilize, you know, and the techniques, we get the subconscious and the conscious mind on board, and any resistance that we're having can be brought to, you know, it comes up. I know for me, when I work with people and I will talk them through and how to release and be more allowing and success, you know, acceptable. And sometimes it's just not the right time, and that's okay. But yeah. At least they become aware and bringing into conscious awareness. You know, and that's the big key, and, you know, combining them, because all those years, like I said, it took me 4 years of intense, you know, I was going 3 times a week. And in yeah. the beginning, I was going every day for a month or so, you know, but you know, you're not always going to find the right therapist that understands, like, you know, and because of the patterning, like, they don't understand, you know, very few. Or, you know, probably more than what I even realize, where they, you know, the profession realizes that there are a lot of men, women, and children out there that they have been victimized multiple times. And so they don't know how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. I mean, there are some out right. there. So it takes some finding those people. And, you know, and that kind of leaves people going, forget it. You know, and then you suffer, and it just grows and grows and grows. And, you know, part of what I do is I utilize, I've been through it, but I also have educational experiences, you know, in mental health and behavioral health and physical rehabilitation. But I now incorporated spiritual, because we forget about our spiritual etheric body, our soul, mm-hmm. you know, and integrating a lot of other tools that I have come across in all my years of experience. But, you know, it's like, you know, I was able to return to work, and then I worked for, you know, 4 more years, and then I had the accident where I fell, and that took me out of my physical therapy practice, period. And along the way, I was doing the others on the side with friends and friends of friends and people who found me, you know, here and there. But the universe said, okay, Miss Superwoman, you're still avoiding, and you are thinking you have to heal everybody you come across. That's not true.
Yeah.
You're not Superwoman. And just because you can doesn't mean you have to. You're mm-hmm. not taking care of yourself. You're sacrificing yourself at the expense, you know, of helping others.
Yeah. And I like to say that God, the universe, does this little whisper, you need to slow. And then it says, you need to slow down. And then it says, you need to slow down. And after it says it a few times, it's a baseball bat. That's your accident, right?
It is. And I tell people, literally, the universe, God, had to take me down to my knees, because you know what? It wasn't the first time that they told me I needed to slow down. I needed to take care of me. And I didn't. Mm. You know? And that, you know, and that was, it was minor. Pattern. Yeah. And we, as particularly women, we are caregivers, we're nurturers, you know, and men are too. And there are a lot of men in those roles, you know, single dads and taking care of their family members and their families, yeah. you know, and we sacrifice ourselves, you know, and that's something that I woke up and especially after, so it took me 10 years. I ended up in a wheelchair because the universe literally knocked me to my knees, took me out of, said, oh no, you, I know you, as soon as you get a little better, you're going to be back out in the field trying to practice again, because I loved what I did, but I didn't realize how much my identity was caught up in that and how much my ego was thriving on it. And, you know, and my need to be like people pleasing, you know, and be that,
well,
you know,
everybody wants to be liked, right?
Right.
And when you're doing those kinds of professions and you're touching people and you get that, that instant gratification of, oh,
yes,
thank you so much. And all,
yes,
you know, and I'm a hairstylist too. So I do the touching thing, but it's on a little bit of a different level.
Yeah.
But I can say that sometimes it's hard to, are not hard. It is sometimes challenging to remove yourself from what you do. But, you know, I think a lot of people really have that issue, because look at how many people, when they retire from work and suddenly they're in no man's land and they're lost and they don't even know how to function anymore. Who am I? I thought this was what I was, and now I'm not doing that anymore. So who am I? And, you know, and the demographic of the world is getting to be a little bit older, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, the amount of people that are walking around like zombies trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up is astronomical.
Exactly. And, you know, and for me, just, you know, I've been on a spiritual path for many, many years. And even that, you know, and practicing, and, you know, it's, you're still doing that. And, you know, it's like, who, so, you know, and every time little something is like happening, it's like, oh yeah, so now who do I want to be when I grow up, you know?
That's right.
But we are transformational beings, period.
Right.
You know, and I am that phoenix. I have risen, I have fallen so many times, not only in these incidences, but throughout my life, you know, my ex-husband pulling the rug out from under me, you know, different disappointments and setbacks and things like that. And I refuse to let it. Here's the thing, anybody, it's a choice, period.
Yes.
If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're supposed to be, you know, because even if you take this away, this is the only thing that you need to ever remember, is you have a choice. You can either be victorious or the victim, period. And it's as simple as that, as making the choice. Now, the actions are not by any means simple.
Right. Right.
It is a journey, and just like anything worth getting through, you know, is worth what you, the effort you have to put into, you know, and you can't just sit there, you know, and you, it's okay to sit there and go, wah, 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 woo, woo, poor me. Cause I definitely did some of that, you know, spiraling down, crying.
Yes, we all do.
Like, yeah. Cause we're human and we've got to remember that. And, but by nature, we want to get up and we want to succeed, you know, and that transformation, we're always, life is full of changes, and it's how you handle it, look at it, and embrace it.
Definitely. It's like, and I was talking to I have a free Facebook group that I pour into all the time. And this morning I was talking to them, and one of the things that we're doing this month is we're focusing on the magic of life and what things are magical. And so what I was explaining to them
good
this
time.
Morning, that even the obstacle that shows up so that things don't seem, it seems like something happened that wasn't so good.
Right.
That's actually part of your journey.
It
and
is.
It's finding the magic of the lesson in it, because that's the magic, is to step aside and see what you can learn from it.
And that's the soul's journey. And that's what, you know, back in my day for sure, because I graduated in 82, started practicing physical therapy at that point. Well, you know, the free stuff you do in school, but you know, that it's like, there's a, you know, our, we're West, Eastern, we're considered Eastern medicine. And so I call it the more traditional, you know, but it's not traditional, really, it's modern, is forgets about the soul,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I went through being into physical rehab, it was about physical medicine, you know? And then I, you know, utilized my love and, you know, went out and branched out into mental health and behavioral health, which hardly any therapist, physical therapist, or, you know, or any occupational therapist or speech therapist, we really don't get in those arenas as much. And but I loved it. And I mean, I just learned, okay, so it's mental and physical, which I already had an intuition and knowing, because I don't know how many times a doctor would tell my patient, oh, you won't be able to do this ever again. Mm-mm. And I would say, forget what the doctor told you. Possibilities, infinite possibilities. And if you believe it, you can get it. And physical therapy is all about getting people to your highest quality, your highest functional ability, the greatest capacity that you can do, you know, and build on your mm-hmm. weaknesses and go from there, you know? So I was always a component of no. We're going to wipe that slate clean because it's what you believe. And I'm going to help you as far as you're willing to allow me, or, you know, and nowadays the insurance will allow, which is pathetic.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm glad I'm not in that arena anymore, because I am horrified and disappointed and sick at my stomach when I see that, you know, they're only going to give you 4 visits for in-home physical therapy when you actually need 4 months.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's crazy, but yeah. You know, that's a different whole arena, but
I know we could talk for days on that one,
yeah, but it's our soul, and it's a soul journey. And not only is it a physical journey, because it is, you know, mm-hmm. but it's a mental. And when you think about our physical body, our mental body, we also have an emotional body, which a lot of people don't even begin to think of. And we have our spiritual body. And our spiritual body incorporates our energetic field. So quantum physics, anybody who wants to learn more about that stuff, because that would take a whole nother segment, mm-hmm. you know. But we are more than what you see. You know, we are molecules vibrating at a level, and that we're always transmuting. And we're in a time where we can heal even our DNA pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the magical. We are in a powerful time, and we're in a quickening, because as human beings, so I always tell people, I'm a divine being embodying a human body having a human experience on this planet Earth,
right.
You know, but we are divine beings. That means we're soul. We're connected to the universe. We vibrate at different patterns. That's what separates us from a monkey, from our, you know, my brother, my sister, and we're all one, you know, we have our own unique signature.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like me, I really am educating people on leaving a better signature behind, you know, your blueprint, and you can change it. And, you know, it's like I tell people, it's like I'm constantly, you know, I got out of the wheelchair, and I could barely stand up and transfer. And I'm, you know, walking around doing, you know, my balance, I still need some work, you know, because it's an ongoing thing. But I'm healing, I'm continuing to heal, and continuing to strive to be the best that I can possibly be. And that's whether it's physical or it's me wanting to change my life in another direction. If I don't like the way my life's going, I have the choice. Remember we talked about that? I have the choice to change it. And you just pivot. Like Dr. Phil, I loved him because he would say, well, how's that working out for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
well, you know, you mentioned having the faith to be healed. And there's one of the things that I'll remind some of my clients sometimes, and I actually put this in one of my recordings recently because I had a hypnosis client and I sent her a recording, and she's very faith-based. So I felt comfortable with it. And so, you know, in the Bible, every time there was a healing with Jesus, you know, he would say, your faith made you well. Your faith is beautiful. Your faith. And he never said, I healed you.
Exactly.
He said, do you want to be healed? And then your faith. And so
exactly.
That's a big thing that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why the placebo stuff is so big, because if people think they got the medicine, they can actually, their mind can make their body react to it like they did. And
people,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And people don't realize how amazing we are. Our mm-hmm. human beings, we are amazing. I mean, there's no mistakes in our design, and so much is possible. And I know we need to start wrapping it up, but you know, if you don't like where it's heading you, and you're repeating the same pattern over and over and over, and it's not working for you, that's, you know,
here's your
there's
sign.
Something wrong. You know, I'm not going to say you're sick because that's, you know, but there's something wrong, you know, here. And you need to stop and go, take a minute. And that's something I really teach people how to do is go within, focus, and get in your own true center. Now, you better believe I trust my intuition. Back when I was younger, I was learning how to do that. And I had to go that hard for whatever reason. Everything happens to us for a reason. And I've never regretted anything because how many people I've touched in their lives and how much richer my life is having been through that experience and having the knowledge and the wisdom, you know, healer, heal thyself, you know. Yeah. And I can truly say that I am totally, I mean, we all are in a process of healing, period, right. You know, unless you're just like, woo. But even then there's some healing you need to do, but you know, if right. you're happy with your life, that's fine. And I, you know, but if you're not, start thinking, you know, what do you want? And I help people figure out what they want, how to go in, how to trust their truth detector. You know, James, our mentor, you know, that's what he said. Oh, I like that. You're the truth detector. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to start using that. But it really is, you know, it's like, it's in your gut. Mm-hmm. It really is, people. And I tell people, if you're feeling anxious about something and it's anxious in a bad way, because there's anxious as exciting. If it's anxious in a bad way, chances are you're not doing the right action. So take some moment, go inside and figure out, okay, I need to look at another course of direction and change that. Just, it might be a little bit, it might be big, but it's the fact that you're going, oh, I'm recognizing it and bringing it up into your conscious awareness. And you got to take action. God's, you know, and God, the universe is not going to come and magically go, you know, not to say that it can happen. Cause you know, hey, I believe in possibilities, you know, right. I've definitely seen miracles, not only in my own life, but
others.
It's
more likely to happen if you start acting on it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. You can't just sit there and cry and whine about it. You have to go, okay, I'm ready and I'm going to do it and make the decision to do it.
And sometimes it's uncomfortable, but hey, so was whatever the tragedy is you went through. And in comparison, not such a big deal.
No.
And so, but the only way you can get past that is through it and around it and
over it, remove the obstacles, you know, find another way to do it. You know, don't just keep beating your head against the same wall over and over again.
Yeah. Cause I forgot who it was. The definition, is it Einstein? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I may be wrong. I've got the quote right. I may be wrong.
It's the quote. That quote is right because I do, you know, lots of people use that, you know.
Yeah. It's Einstein. I don't know if it's Einstein.
I don't know for sure either.
I
know a lot of things.
Right. Well, I know a lot of things about things that I may not know how to direct you to where I found it.
Right. But hey. You know, we have the internet, you know, so you can look it up. But really, even in that, there's, you know, these AIs, they can only take what people are feeding them. And if people are feeding them wrong information, you know, you got to learn to discern and trust and know, you know, what's right, what feels right to you. And what resonates.
Sometimes the AIs have, it's not that it's the wrong information, it's just old information.
Yeah.
So some of them are, it's not updated, you know, it might be 2 years delay. Well, hell, in this world, 2 years is huge, you know.
And they can only operate off of what's being fed to them, the information. So, and some people are putting wrong information. I mean, let's face it, there is a war going on there, dark versus light, you know, good and evil. Community versus piracy, you know, tyrants. And, you know, we're seeing it all around us. And we're in a time where it's quickening because it has to be. It has to be shaken up. Things have to get shaken up to be better. You know, it's like we didn't build our foundation well, so it's going to crumble. Yeah. And, you know, but there's so many of us that are here now that have, you know, come through stuff that are able to reach out and say, hey, I am that hand reaching out to you. And I just want people to know, you know, that is who I am. I'm not going to tell you, oh, I'm going to help you do da, 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 da. If I can't help you, I'm going to say, you know, look at this, look at that, and let's see what your needs are, because I'm not going to resonate with everybody, you know, right. And my way is not everybody's way, you know, but you will find the way. You just have to continue to look and weed out, you know, pull those right. weeds out of the
because
garden.
Because it's like, that's why there's so many of us that do some of the exactly. similar work, is because somebody that won't resonate with me might resonate with you. And then right. as it goes on the chain, you know, the yeah. thing is that the biggest thing I would like for people to take away is that, you know, if you learn to listen to your intuition, mm-hmm. it will guide you so many times to yeah. avoid things that maybe wouldn't have been so good. But also, I was reminded just the other day, because I was talking about the same thing, and they said, well, also your intuition can sometimes guide you to that a magical thing that, you know, you mm-hmm. didn't see coming either.
Yeah.
And so I just want to remind everybody that intuition works amazingly well to keep you from getting hurt or keep you from being in a bad yes. circumstance, but also gives you this magical ability to almost sense like, whoa, that's the right way to go. That's the yeah. right path. That's the right yeah. person to talk to.
Yes.
And so it's yes. not all, yes. you know, bad. It's a yeah. development of both, and it's discerning the difference.
And it is discerning, period. And, you know, it's like the other, you know, people going, well, how do I even begin? Get yourself in a quiet place where you can take time. It's so important that we take time out of our busy day and go, okay, I'm going to take a break. Me, and I just did it this weekend, is went out into nature. And you know, I'm red. I'm sunburned a little bit because I got a little too much sun, but it's fine. You know, I didn't do damage. You know, I know when to go out in the right time of the day and not get so much. But, you know, it's like, and focus and just my guidance, it just is spot on. You know, it's like it leads me to this, to that. And there's no, like you and I meeting, there's no mistakes in the universe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though our mentor coach, you know, he was taken from us early on, but we came together for each other, you know, in the group, and to continue, you know, his legacy a little bit and integrate it into what we're doing. You know, you do yours differently. I do mine differently. You know, everybody is a little different. And, you know, we were talking about that because, you know, there are people very Christian based, and I'm very, you know, I have a Christian background, but I consider myself more of a spiritualist because I just the way I approach things. And that might turn some people off, you know, but I do believe in God and I do the divine being, you know, but I do realize that there's a feminine and masculine aspects. You know, we live in a world of duality. There's light and dark, good and evil, black and white, you know, it goes on and on, but male and female principles. And we have to respect Mother Earth and Father Sky, you know, and we are all divine. We are children of the divine. We are made up of them and their particles. And so therefore we all are. And coming together in community and reach out people there. If you'll look, there are people out, but you just got to learn and feel discernment, you know? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, this has been amazing. I appreciate you so much for being here and sharing your love and light, and because it's beautiful. And so for those that are listening right now and are watching, make sure you leave a comment like I asked you to earlier. Leave a comment, you know, yes. Ask a question, do something that kind of helps Riordan know, you know, because she can check back once this is published to see, you know, what have you said, you know, what did you need help with? Did you yeah. have a question? And then like, subscribe, and share, because that is how, you yes. know, this message gets out more. And you know, I've had yeah. some amazing guests on here, and I just want to help them to
yeah
spread
thank
more.
You and thank you yes
My
and
pleasure.
Collaborating, you know, it's important that we support one another, period, as people, as human beings, as people doing the same kind of work, you know. But and I know you will put, you know, my contact yeah. stuff, you know, how to reach me and stuff out there,
yeah,
but
I'll be in the description,
yeah. But people, just please reach out, begin to look around you, because there's somebody out there, if you're needing help, that can help you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we go, mm-hmm. just If there's one place that you want them to have a link to, because I know you have a bunch of links, so I don't want to give them all the links, but for the people that are listening, if there's one link you want to give them, just tell them what it is, and then they can come back and look for the rest of them in the description.
Okay. Yeah. I would say my Facebook page at Lady of Love and Light on Facebook. Okay. You just put that in there. And when it comes up, it'll be a very etheric Lady of Light and with a little green thing and energy, little crown, you know. But it's a drawing, it's a painting, you know, because there are people that try to imitate other people, you know, and then they, you know. And I would hate for someone who really needs help to find someone who really isn't, that means ill harm, because we know in the world we live in, that's possible. But if you also, you can do it at Riordan and on Facebook too. And
beautiful. Yeah, perfect. That way the people that are listening can gather that really quick and they can look you up, because this is going to be when it's published, you know, all the stuff will be in there. And so they can get in there and look you up. But you know, when they listen to it, they might want to just go ahead and grab your information. Yeah. And so I wanted to go ahead and have that.
Thanks. And I do have a website, and it's ladyofloveandlight.com, all lower capitals .com, you know, so that can describe in more detail.
So everybody knows a few ways that they can reach out to you, and then all the others will be in the comments. And I'll have my information in there as well. So you can reach out to me if you have any questions about the podcast or any questions about hypnosis or anything that I can help you with. So I'm going to go ahead and leave you with this quote that I just love. And this is how I end every episode. The best way to predict the future is create it. So what are you creating? And with that, I will say, see you later.
It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.